Christmas Day, 11 a.m. The Sunday after Christmas Day, 11 a.m. What is left to say? Well, if you stay tuned to the sermon, we'll see if we can figure that one out. The title of our message this morning is According to Plan. Based on Matthew chapter 2, our gospel reading, let me read to you selected verses. Now, when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I call my son. Again, our title, According to Plan. Follow the insert in your bulletin. On it, you'll find the sermon outline. Well, from 1983 until 1987, there was a very enjoyable TV show on that I didn't ever want to miss. It was entitled The A-Team. I wonder how many here even remember it. But the tune went something like this. Maybe you don't remember it. But let me tell you about this show. It was a combination action comedy program that had a new episode each week. And it showed a team of men who were skilled in many activities, especially to rescue someone who was being held captive or to thwart the plans of the bad guys. This A-team was called in to handle the situation when nobody else could get the job done. And the leader of the A-team always seemed to have an elaborate plan to accomplish the mission. And more often than not, when you watched the program, you figured there was no way his elaborate plan would ever work. But by the end of the 30-minute program, somehow, the plan worked. And all of us viewers got to hear the leader's famous line that he spoke every time the program came to an end. He said, with a cigar in his mouth, I love it when a plan comes together. We love it, don't we? When a plan comes together, when something in our life goes according to plan, it's great when something works out just the way we planned it to be. Whether it's a holiday meal, a vacation trip, a fix-it project, or a special gift for a loved one. Well, in today's gospel reading, we read that the Heavenly Father's plan for Jesus did come together, and that all the arrangements God made for our salvation did work out according to plan. You see, it all happened so quickly for Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. The trip to Bethlehem, the birth in a manger, the angels, the shepherds, the star, and a short time later, the wise men. All of these events pointed to the newborn king promised from his old. But as they say, all good things must come to an end. And in a dream, God warned Joseph to take his family to Egypt to escape the murderous intentions of the wicked ruler of Judea, Herod. Herod sought to kill all the young boys aged 2 and under in Bethlehem in order to get to Jesus. Yet the scripture tells us even this somehow. This wicked thing was a part of God's plan for Jesus and for our salvation. St. Matthew puts it this way. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Out of Egypt, I will call my son. Now, any Jewish person who heard Matthew's account of Jesus' flight into Egypt quickly thought of the Old Testament book of Genesis and an earlier flight into Egypt. You see, in the distant past, God appeared in a dream to another Joseph. This was the Joseph, he of the coat of many colors. He was one of the 12 sons of Israel who helped the Hebrew people escape the famine and make a new life in Egypt. And afterward, as we read in the Old Testament book of Exodus, another evil ruler arose, this time a Pharaoh, who sought to kill baby Moses and all the other Hebrew boys in the area. And later, the Lord appeared to the adult Moses and sent him to lead his people out of Egypt by speaking to the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Saint Matthew in his gospel sees how somehow all of these events are somehow related and a part of God's divine plan. And this baby Jesus, who was taken into Egypt, would soon be taken out of Egypt to begin his public ministry and to lead God's people out of their slavery to sin, to death, and to the devil. It's no wonder that Jesus is sometimes referred to as the new Moses. Just as Moses' life was threatened by an early ruler when he was just a baby, the same was true for Jesus. Just as Moses led his people out of slavery, the same is true for Jesus. And when Jesus came back from Egypt into Judea, he would lead a new exodus, an exodus that would go through a cross and through an empty grave for us and for our salvation. All of these things were according to God's plan. And in God's good time, it all came together. No one can alter God's plan of salvation. Oh, many fight against it. And by fighting against it, they end up rejecting it for themselves. The Israelites of old did just that. Many didn't want to leave Egypt under Moses' leadership. They preferred to remain in bondage and eat their meager food and enjoy their meager shelter rather than trusting God through Moses to take him to a promised land. And so many in Jesus' day rejected God's plan of salvation. They didn't want to leave their traditions and man-made laws to follow Jesus. They preferred to remain in bondage to their laws and to their sin, rather than trusting God had sent the promised Messiah, the Savior. But today, many people are still rejecting God's plan of salvation. Look around us at what our world has made Christmas to be: an excuse for greed and excess. I must admit, this morning, as I was eating my porridge, waiting to leave, I turned on the morning news. This is my own problem. It's my own hang-up, I confess. But I was so disgusted with the horrendous lines of people just waiting to get into the stores again today to make a great purchase, to save a couple of bucks. That's what this season has come to. A holiday, to be sure, but a politically correct holiday in which the name of Jesus Christ shouldn't be spoken out in public so as not to offend anybody. If it weren't so sad, it would almost be funny. Let me ask you, whose birthday is it anyhow? Well, the rejection of Jesus at Christmas is only a symptom of a deeper problem: the rejection of God's plan of salvation for the world. Unless we busy ourselves pointing our fingers at others, let's point a finger back at ourselves and ask the question, how do we reject God's plan of salvation today? We reject it whenever we keep ourselves or our children from worship, whenever we keep ourselves and our children from Sunday school and Bible class, we reject it when we fail to receive the Lord's Supper every time it's offered here. We reject it when we lean upon our own good works or our own feelings or any number of earthly props rather than depending upon God's Word and His eternal purposes. Now it's easy for us sinful people to doubt God's plan of salvation. It's even easier for us to doubt and have questions and be upset about why unpleasant things happen in our life, as if God doesn't care. And today's text from Matthew, chapter 2, may be difficult for us to read. Did you listen carefully when Vicar read it? Did you listen to the story? What happened? The day after Christmas. What are we talking about today? The day after we celebrate Christmas. The Holy Scriptures take us to that horrible time when all the little boys aged 2 and under were put to death in Bethlehem because of Herod. He did this because in his fear and paranoia, he was afraid that the newborn king would be a personal threat to his rule. Now, we cannot blame God for the evil deeds of Herod. God is not the author of evil. But it did happen. And for some reason, God allowed it. And we don't like it. You see, Herod reasoned that Jesus had to die. Herod was right. Jesus had to die. But not according to Herod's plan or according to Herod's time schedule. Jesus was born that he might die. Jesus was born that he might die for you, for me, for the sins of the world. But since it was not Jesus' time yet for his divine appointment with the cross, the baby Jesus was protected from Herod by God's divine intervention. And following the angel's word to Joseph in a dream, Joseph led his family to safety in Egypt. God was accomplishing his plan of salvation in spite of Herod's evil intention. My friends, here's where this story now invades your life. God will accomplish his plans for you and for your salvation, in spite of anything this evil world throws in your way. He will accomplish His plans in His time, in what's best for you and best for all concerned. This is indeed what St. Paul's words say in the epistle reading for today from Galatians 4, verse 4. Listen again. It said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. You've heard me explain recently why Beverly and I have a large cross lit with Christmas lights in the front window of our home. It proclaims that the cross is the reason for the manger. Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning are the reasons for Christmas. Jesus was born a Christmas babe that he might grow up to be the Savior who died on Calvary's cross. And as he died on that cross for you and for me and for the sins of the world, when upon that cross for you and me and for our salvation, he defeated sin. He defeated death and he defeated the devil. He cried out, "It is finished." God's plan for our salvation had been accomplished. And Easter Sunday's proclamation, "He is risen. He is risen indeed," is just another way of God saying, "I love it when a plan comes together." Thank God that today you and I can trust Him that He has accomplished our salvation. Thank God that you and I can trust Him, that He will take care of our present needs and our future needs as well. Thank God that you and I can trust Him because He loves us. All will be done in our lives according to plan, according to His plan for us, in Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.